You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin and our first day of adventure and faith. So welcome to We Are Shifting Into Freedom. I am so excited about what this next 8 weeks holds for our community and for you as individuals and for us, as well as the depth of practice that the work that we're going to be invited into will create in our life, the shifts that will occur, the openings, this reorientation of our relationship with God, with awareness. What that means in our community's life, I think just is so exciting to for us. So I look forward to sharing with you some insights and hearing from you along the way. We are in the middle of it, or the beginning of Adventure in Faith, and one of the values and the great things about that is that we get to bring back a lot of the traditions that, for some of us who have been around for 20-plus years, we have grown very familiar and fond of. One of those traditions is that we have an image that captures the essence and the experience of what we're really holding in consciousness. And so this year, we have our image, and it's actually taken from Site 8 of the Meditation Gardens, which symbolizes the coming back into the world with gift-bestowing hands, this awakened consciousness, this embodied awakened consciousness. And then looking back to some of the earlier stages of development. So typically we would be looking forward into where we're going. In this picture, we're actually at Site 8, at embodied awake awareness, looking back through that lens to the form and some of the previous stages of development through awakened awareness. So that really is the container that we'll be holding this whole work in, of shifting where we're coming from and our orientation in consciousness and how that shifts our relationship with the world. And there's also the play of the light and the dark, the awakened ones on the left-hand side that represent traditions found around the world. So really an inclusiveness to the work that we're going to be doing. And I'd like to acknowledge our beloved Karina Rint, Karina Spadoni, for her amazing artistry and work once again. Thank you so much. Want to stand? One of the photographers of Unity of Tustin, that we just really appreciate your artistry and your view of the world. We also have a tradition during Adventure in Faith of saying together affirmations, statements of being that hold the energy field that we're going to be working with for the week. So this week, our affirmations are based on the Introductions, chapters 1 and 2 of the book Shift Into Freedom by Locke Kelly. And it will really hold the container for the work that we're going to be doing this morning and then as we go forward throughout the week. So I'd like to invite us to say together our affirmations for this week. Together, we are home while returning home. I am discovering the source of life. I am happy without a cause. I am understanding the paradox of awakening. I am walking through the doorways of direct recognition. I am establishing mind in the heart. I am resting as that which is aware of seeing. Can you feel the vibration of those? we're really entering into non-dual teachings with embodiment. So the other thing that I wanted to add this year that we've had towards the end of Adventure in Faith, but this year wanted to include to at the beginning, is a prayer, an anchoring prayer for us all to say throughout these 8 weeks that represents the material and also represents our collective intention. So I asked Gail Hamley, who's our licensed, who is a licensed Unity teacher as well as our spiritual director here at Unity of Tustin, to see what would come as she went into the silence and asked for a prayer for Adventure in Faith to come forward. And this is what came. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. As we begin our service, as we begin Adventure in Faith at Unity of Tustin for 2015, we are shifting into freedom. Taking a deep breath in and out, we invoke the power and the presence of the living Spirit. And pray in this moment, I shift into stillness. This quiet stillness leads my awareness to my breath. I breathe in. I breathe out. In. Out. I am aware of a unifying sacredness in the stillness, in my breath, in my awareness. I shift into freedom, oneness. Amen. So as I mentioned, I am excited about this material and this opportunity. And, Mary Jean and I were talking about, especially as we were working with the study guide and reading the book and talking about some of the material in it and recognizing that in most communities, this would be an untenable book to look at as a community. Some people would be able to go there, but as a community, it might be a little much. I'm seeing some heads nodding. And because of what is here, because of the work, the spiritual work and the heart, the depth of practice that is pretty stable in this community at this point, we have a unique opportunity to really do practice together, oriented around what Locke Kelly is offering, but really that is about awakened awareness, living from the truth of who we are, and practicing that together, which is something we haven't really done before during Adventure in Faith. We've done it as a community, and then for some of us who were in the old days of Conscious Covenant, we would look at some of the other models, or if you take the Enneagram class, which will be coming up again in January, there are other ways, but this is that. For 8 weeks during the year, our community is offered the opportunity to really do some deep work together. And particularly this book is all about non-dual awareness. This is your opportunity for those of you who really, that's your passion, that's where your heart is, you're really connected with practice and embodiment. This is your material. I will also say that I'm noticing, as I, especially in the beginning, as I was reading this, it was like slogging through mud. Anyone experienced that yet? Yes. It's like slogging through mud a little bit, at least for me, because I was looking, okay, we've got lots of models and maps happening here. We've got four stages or four aspects of awake awareness, and we've got different levels of mind and thought, and had different things of ego identification and ego function, and all sorts of things. Consciousness is not equal awareness and attention. Lots of equations, lots of maps and models happening. Did you find that? Yeah. So here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that there is... those are helpful. And as you continue through the material, it will become more clear what is being offered. As scaffolding, as a construct, as a loose, as a pointer toward what is really important and what the primary purpose of this is, which is the practice. If you're lost in the concepts, be lost in the concepts. There's something about struggling with something and then practicing the glimpses, he calls them, that actually will at some point shift you into, I understand now. I have an experience of what he is referring to that will reorient your relationship, your struggle, and will actually become revelation. I will offer that I've had that enough times in working with even centering prayer, you know, working with the practice of centering prayer and thinking I understood and knowing the four movements of prayer and, you know, all of the cognitive things. And then at some point, you keep practicing and there's a shift. There's an embodiment that naturally occurs. And so if you're struggling, that's actually a good thing, because something is getting chemicalized in you, what we call in unity chemicalization. A higher truth or a higher knowing is coming into your awareness, and it's disrupting things. It's challenging things. It's bumping up against solid structures and burning them or bouncing off them enough that it's going to crack eventually. And something else will open up within you. And there will be a shift, I promise. I've been working with this now for several weeks. And I'm noticing some shifts. Particularly what we're going to be working with in this next week, really about unhooking our awareness, or what he calls local awareness, from identification with only thought. If you notice, and I hadn't really considered it this way before, but if you notice, a lot of what we work with in meditation practice is oriented to stopping thought, watching thought, ignoring thought, all of those types of things. What's I love about this material is that he actually works with thought in a whole different way. He sees thought as, he offers thought as like a sixth sense. It's like another point of information, just like you're getting images from your eyes, you're hearing sounds with your ears, you're feeling things with your skin. Thoughts are another way of perceiving the world, but that is not ultimate reality. So he talks, and the practice that we're really going to work with this week is actually about unhooking our consciousness from seeing through the thoughts, and instead working and living from an awakened awareness. Now, he starts off the material with a really important archetypal story that is found in many, many traditions. It has a universal teaching and moral to the story that is a really important framework from which to jump into what is being offered. So it starts out that there's this fish rolling around the ocean. And one day someone approaches the fish and says, I'm looking for the source of life. I've heard that it is going to, when you find it, it's the answer to all your heart's desires. You find freedom, you find love. And so I'm on a quest. And so this one little fish says, you know, that sounds, I want that. I'm miserable and upset. I have no meaning in my life. I want to find the source of life too. So the fish starts out on the journey and swims around the ocean and asks, Do you know where the source of life is or what it is? And so throughout his journeys, he's given various tasks of sometimes easy, sometimes difficult. He's taught many things. He meets incredibly interesting and diverse creatures among the ocean. And at some point, he goes, you know, I'm tired. And he ends up swimming back to his home ocean area. And he's kind of looking around and remembering some of the territory, some of the good old days of his youth. And he meets this old wise fish. And the fish says, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. You're looking really bad. You're looking dejected. What's going on? And the once young fish says, you know, I've been on a search for the source of life. I've been on this quest, and I've asked everyone where it is and what it is. And I've found interesting things. I've learned great insights, but I haven't found it yet. So in one last ditch effort, the once young fish says, do you know what the source of life is or where it is? And the wise fish, knowing, recognizing her own journey in this young fish, says, I do. It's known by many names, but the simplest name for the source of life is water. It's what he's been swimming around and been swimming in that has sustained him this whole time. What we're working with, and the name that Locke Kelly uses for water, and he says it's known by many names, truth, God, love, peace, true nature, enlightenment, unity. But the water that he is referring to, what if the source of life was surrounding us and permeating us? Is awareness, the simplest form, one of the less charged forms, unlike we can have certain connotations around God or even love, that it's really that simple. And yet there's something paradoxical, and it's really important to start to be willing to hold paradox, simultaneous seemingly opposite truths at once, that they're both true. That it's both important to be a seeker, and it's also important to give up the search. because the water, awareness, is surrounding and permeating us always. It's simply a matter of how tuned in we are, how unhooked we are to that. I've been reading a lot, or occasionally, as time permits, of Charles Fillmore, and one of his last books that he was actually published with his second wife, Cora Fillmore, was called Teach Us to Pray. And it's really fascinating because a lot of this lineage and a lot of what we're going to be working with over these next 8 weeks was toward the end of his time on earth. Charles Fillmore was really teaching from a very awake space. Now, did he always demonstrate that in his life? I don't think so, according to the stories. However, there's something still very important and valuable in looking at the teaching. And in one of his last teachings, he has this whole chapter on intellectual silence and spiritual silence, which is very similar to what you're going to be reading with Locke Kelly in looking through, looking at awareness through thinking, seeing the world through our thoughts and our emotions, and unhooking from that and seeing through the lens of awake awareness that is connected in first with the source, and then sees thoughts or experiences thoughts just as we experience images. So the way that Charles Fillmore talks about it is he says that it's actually our concept of God that makes our prayer intellectual or spiritual, or in this case, I would translate that to say our concept of reality or God, which determines whether we're seeing through thinking or we're seeing through awake awareness, this limitless and formless, contentless nature of reality, primordial nature of reality, which is how he describes it. Charles Fillmore goes on to say that when we're in spirit, when we let go of seeing through the intellect, we arrive at the very threshold of God's workshop, the threshold of being. Isn't that a cool, arrive at the threshold of God's workshop? Seeing through awake awareness is like arriving at the threshold of God's workshop. And it's in this spiritual silence our realization is established in our own heart, which is ultimately what this practice, the practices that we're going to be working with, are the kind of the total of them are found in an ancient Buddhist practice that he's updated the language for and married with psychology, which is one of his proficiencies. And the whole kind of practice is called heart-centered awareness. So when I read Charles Fillmore was saying, in this spiritual silence, our realization is established in our heart, the threshold of the workshop of God is centered in the heart. I was like, oh, yes, they were talking about the same principles, just with different language. And Charles did not give a lot of information of how to how to get to the threshold. It's like, good luck, everyone. So this is the work that will get us, help begin to open us to that. So I want to talk a little bit about a couple of terms that you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot about that will really aid you, the clearer you are on kind of the definition and the concept. And the first one is awake awareness. It is not a state. It's not a meditative state. It's not a transformative state or a transcendent state. It's not an altered state. It is a dimension of reality. It's like what we talk about in unity. It is the fourth dimension or the kingdom of God. This is an always present reality. The only thing that's transitory is our connection with it. That's what changes. But it is always here, and it is arising in every moment. It is in a divine and natural intelligence and awakeness of life. And you can find yourself, if you've ever been in a flow state, or you've been doing selfless service, or in love, or in some capacity where you've just you've forgotten yourself. You're just in this experience of being. You're experiencing life arising. One of the ways he calls it is panoramic viewing. You're feeling the interconnectivity of life. There's just something that's alive that you don't have to think about to know it's true. You don't have to focus on something to feel the aliveness of it or the divinity of it. It's just there. That's what he's referring to in awake awareness. And often he says what we do is that we see awareness as more of a medium, as something, as an in-between, like I am aware of something. And in that, what he says is that we actually limit and we reduce what is this limitless power of and reality into being in service as an object-subject relationship. We create a separation by limiting awareness to, I need to think about something in order to know it. I need to reference my past memory in order to understand it. And what the invitation is that actually there is this divine intelligence that is already present, that we can access our thinking, but only after we are firmly established in what is beyond thinking. So the way that he talks about that specifically is through defining, he has four kind of aspects or expressions of awake awareness. And the first one, the most important one that we're going to be working with this week, is called local awareness. So local awareness is the movability of awareness. So this will be playing the role today. We have props. We'll see how this goes. This will be playing the role of local awareness. See how it moves? What he says is that we get hooked in thinking that the only reality is through our thoughts. And so all we can see is through this level, this lens of reality that's actually not direct experience. It is through filters, and it is removed. There is a level of separation. So the practices that we're going to be working with specifically are going to be working with unhooking this limitless expression called local awareness. Look, I'm tied up. Out of thinking into experiencing reality first, and then we might need to look through thinking. Or look through, what are we seeing, or what are we hearing? But there's a first and foremost, a direct experience of reality that is not hooked to anything. So the way that one of the practices is, and he invites you, and actually this really helped me even before I read it. I was picturing this, and then it kind of was confirmed. To even see it as like an orb that's movable. It's not fixed. We don't have to see the world through our thoughts first. That is a choice. But it's just what we've been told to do. So to see it as like an orb, and even I see, you know, thoughts located in my head. So notice this orb and actually physically move it, the center of consciousness, this local consciousness, local awareness, down through my throat, down through my body, into my right toe. That's one of the practices. And see what your experience is of local awareness moving to another location in your body. Seeing from it, and then noticing if anything else arises. So that what we're doing is we're making our world permeable, unfixed, dynamic and alive, which is more of a direct experience of reality. He also makes a distinction between reflective, which is really about reflective thing, which is thinking about thinking. And reflective is really like a mirror, right? You can only reflect what's in the area, what's in front of it. And we've done some inquiry practices where it's just like this house of mirrors. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? How this kind of, depending on where you're at, it can be a really caught space, just bouncing off of each other, which is different than what awake awareness is offering, which is actually what he says, as a reflexive awareness. And a reflexive awareness is more of the pronoun, like there's a reference to a self that can look back at itself. You feel the difference? Mirror can only show you what's in front of it. Reflexive consciousness can look back and see. It's like the teaching of you can turn the flashlight back on itself and look at what's the nature of the flashlight in its reality. So that's the value of being able to start to move your consciousness. So that's the practice we're going to be working with this week as a way of stepping into another level of living reality. He says that a lot of, and I've noticed this, that people find themselves shifting without even recognizing it into a whole new way of being in relationship with the world. So I look forward to journeying with you. And as a way of re-anchoring and holding and setting the container for our time this week, for our prayers, for our practice, let us once again say the affirmations for these chapters, the introduction, chapter 1 and chapter 2. So I invite you to say them with me. Again, we are home while returning home. I am discovering the source of life. I am happy without a cause. I am understanding the paradox of awakening. I am walking through the doorways of direct recognition. I am establishing a mind and heart. I am resting as that which is aware of seeing.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.